Hello, I'm Mariet Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to wellness professionals ready to assist with sincerity and care. Today's topic is post-retirement mastery, acing a piano exam with finger joint prostheses. My guest is Dr. Hans Rabe from Cape Town. Welcome, Hans.
Thank you, Mariet. Good morning, everybody. And I'm very happy to be on this program. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to speaking to you. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. After our conversation, it will be fun question time. Hans, I was very surprised when I heard on the radio that you, as a 76-year-old retired urologist with artificial finger joints in both hands, got an A+ for UNISA's most advanced performance exam, a piano exam. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm pretty chuffed myself. Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning. Would you like to tell us about your childhood and where your love of music and the piano started?
I'm from a German farming family in Natal. And music and choral music and brass bands are part of our basic culture in that area, in Natal. And so we as a family would gather around the piano and we would sing German folk songs or even hymns to my father's accompaniment. And this we would do at least once a week and in front of the crackling fire in winter. On long motor car trips, we would always sing, as they said, in voices. My father bass, I would sing tenor, my sister the alto, and my mother had a beautiful soprano. So our house has always had a musical background in the sense that music was appreciated. And when as I grew up, I was a bit of a homebody because I was a spindly, very thin and shy child because I had a chronic amebiasis. I stayed in the house most of the time, and my biggest joy was to play the piano pieces of my sister, who was 4 years older than myself. And that, of course, upset her no end. But my parents apparently found some vestige of talent within me. And then I started with piano lessons. And I quickly went through all the exams, etc. I learned it in our local town, the dentist's wife. I later changed to another dentist's wife in another town. And with her, I then did my grade 8 at the age of 16. Okay, that's me in my youth.
And did you consider a career in music, Hans?
No, never, actually. I was first destined to become a farmer. But that was, you know, a little bit out. I would have been out of my depth as a farmer because I'm not very practical, actually. So I thought I would need to become something else. And music, yes. But I thought, okay, I would become a doctor. I thought that's not a bad idea because my best friend also wanted to become a doctor. I thought it's probably safer to be a doctor and do music on the side than to be a musician and do a bit of doctoring on the side. So there we are.
And what made you decide to become a urologist?
I've always been interested in actually performing surgery, that meaning doing something active to make people better, you know, remove this, put that in, or fix two things together, that kind of stuff. Although I said I'm not very practical, but in my mind, that's what I wanted to do. A general surgery I started with But the width of the field gave me this thing they call the fear of wide open spaces. It was just too big, the field. I felt I couldn't apply myself to such a wide field. And then I noticed urology when I rotated through it. And it was as if, an epiphany. I knew this was it. And I never looked back. At the most wonderful career, most wonderful profession, most wonderful practice. Every second was enjoyed up till the last day when I retired at 74. It was lovely. But then I could say, goodbye. Done that, been there, thank you.
Mm. As an aside, Hans, I read on the internet that working as a urologist at MediClinic Panorama, you are said to have been, and I quote, directly involved in modernizing your field. Would you like to explain why that is mentioned on the internet?
Yes, I've always been extremely curious, and in this case, curiosity didn't kill the cat, but curiosity made me think what I'm at. So I always try to improve anything that I was busy with, by researching. And then my main contribution was, of course, the introduction of a brachytherapy, that is radioactive seed implantation of the prostate for cancer. And this was very successful immediately. And the first few hundred cases were done in our hospital. And this was in 1997. There are now over 60 units in the country doing this kind of treatment. And a lot of men have benefited from it. With minimal side effects and it's minimally invasive in the sense that you don't even cut into the patient. So there we are. It worked very well, and that, I would say, was probably my main contribution to the modernization. Yeah.
And did you find time to play the piano through the years?
Always, always, and always. I would try to play every day at least one Bach prelude and fugue. And sometimes before I went to work to settle my thoughts, I would play a prelude and fugue. And in the house, they just knew it. Oh, Dad's up. Listen to him tinkling away. Mm. And I've always made sure that I have access to a piano. Even when I worked overseas, I had to wangle people into allowing me to play on their pianos. There are quite a few interesting stories there, but it's not really to the point right now. But I've always played, always had a piano available. Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you retired at the age of 74 and that it worked very well. It seems to me it was a good closure to that chapter. But then you set yourself this ideal, the goal of attaining UNISA's licentiate in piano, the performer's licentiate, which you just told me is now called the performance assessment. How did this come about, this goal?
When I finished school in matric and I went to university, I went on with my piano. And of course, the piano teacher said, "What was the last thing you did?" I said, "Well, it's the grade 8. It's a year and a half ago." He said, "Well, then you have to do the licentiate now and let's get going. But you've got to practice at least 2.5 hours a day for this exam, and this is for a whole year at least until you've got all these rather advanced pieces under the belt." And I just noticed that I'm not going to be able to do all the demands of the study to mix it with the demands of this licentiate. And I actually asked him, I said, "I'm not going to do the exam, but thank you, I can play these pieces halfway well." And then when I went to retire, I had a look at the lists for the performance assessment exam of UNISA. And I said, well, here are some pieces there. There's a list of about 200 pieces. I said, here are some pieces that I already know what they sound like, and I've had them under the fingers, but wouldn't it be wonderful to really know them well and play them on a performance level? And so I started, and it went well. And that was, it gave me an easy exit out of the demands of a very busy urology practice, because I really had a goal again. And I think that's so important. If you retire, when you retire, okay, you can start something brand new like skydiving that you've never done before. But it's much more satisfying to improve something that you can already do. Let's say it's woodwork. Let's say it's painting. Let's say it's whatever. Continue with something that already has tickled your fancy throughout your life, and then see if you can blossom in this whatever it is.
I like that idea, and I'm sure you faced some challenges, including having arthritis in both hands. Could you give us a little bit of information about when it started and which medical interventions you've had through the years?
Okay. Well, about 10 years before I retired, I noticed my hands started looking funny, although they didn't really hurt. And then when I was operating, I had more and more trouble in making knots, you know, the knot that you make with your, usually we make the knot with the left hand because in the right hand you've got the needle driver. And I just couldn't get my fingers around it. And then it started hurting. And I was then diagnosed with an autoimmune arthritis. And the treatment suggested 5 to 10 years ago sounded a bit drastic to me. I thought, well, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to play more piano to keep my fingers supple and mobile. And that's what I did. And I must say, the pain never really increased until about a year before I retired. Then I noticed that I can do an operation, but between operations, I've got to put my hands in warm water to just to settle my fingers again. And well, when I retired, one of the things I did is that I went to see a rheumatologist, and he said, yes, you have this. The doctors were right back then. Thank God, you played the piano. I said, yes, but I want to continue, and it's now hurting. Because with the one hand, I had a very bad arthritis in my thumb joint of the right hand and very bad arthritis in my pinky joint of the left hand. With the one hand, I couldn't do octaves, and with my left hand, I couldn't like hit bass notes, something away from middle C. It would really like send a pain, you know, lightning pain through my whole arm. And so it was decided that best way to go about is to replace the joint in my right thumb and then see how we go. This was absolutely wonderful. For the first time in a year, I could hold a toothbrush again. Or I could paint again. I could hold a paintbrush in my hand. So I was really chuffed with this. And then I went on with the UNISA exam, my preparations with Nina Schumann, Professor Schumann in Stellenbosch. But the pinky finger was really announcing itself very often. But I just practiced and played through that. And the day after I played the UNISA performance exam, I went in for surgery on my pinky, and there I've got a new pinky finger. I've got no more pain. It is just the most wonderful situation. But I've got to inject myself every 2 weeks with an anti-autoimmune. Can you imagine that? Anti-autoimmune with a substance. I've got to inject myself to keep the autoimmune arthritis at bay. And now I'm playing again. I'm playing new pieces. There's a new sun that's come up, Angeline, as they say.
I'm very glad to hear that. Let's go back to the time before the exam. How many hours a day did you devote to practicing?
Well, as I said, about 2.5 hours. If you play 5 pieces and the one piece is a major piece, you'll spend an hour on that. And on the smaller pieces, half hour, half hour, half hour. And you take a break in between, you know. You go for a walk in the garden. I would maybe just go up to the stables to say hi to my horse and then come back and then another half hour. And then you have to do this consistently. Otherwise, particularly at my age, you'll forget what you learned this morning, you know. So you got to reinforce improvements. Yeah.
How did you choose your repertoire?
Okay. These were the Bach Partita I had started when I was in my first year of medicine in Pretoria for this same exam, but I never really played it properly. And I thought, I'd love to do this. Okay. And then there was a Beethoven sonata that has always fascinated me. He dedicated it to some other noble lady, Teresa von Braunschweig. And I always loved this. It's just one of the shorter Beethoven sonatas, but it's beautiful. And then Professor Schumann, she said, yes, and number three, what do you want to do? And so I wanted to play a piece by Debussy. It's called it's the Sunken Cathedral. And just the name is actually quite a hard sinker. She said, ach nee, she said, the people will fall asleep if you play that. So let me give you something a bit more, with more pizzazz. And then she made me play, and she introduced me to Granados, this is the Spanish composer. He wrote a beautiful song. It's called Allegro di Concerto. And I love that piece. It was just built for the pianist's hand, and it sounds very impressive, but it's actually playable. And then as my fourth piece, I thought I'd put in a South African composer, and there I took Alexander Johnson. He used to be a piano lecturer at Stellenbosch and later went on to lecturing in Pretoria. And he is a fantastic composer, and one of his jazz impromptus I included in my program. So the program takes about 44 minutes from beginning to end. Here and there, they give you 30 seconds to wipe the sweat from your brow, and then you have to carry on. But yeah, so there we are. Those were the pieces, and thanks for asking.
And Hans, were you cool and calm during your exam?
You know, I thought, what the heck? There's no point in eating my nails away. There's no point in that. I've had a good night's sleep. I'm just going to do my best. And what really helped is that the examiner, she was so, she came forth as so warm and interested in what I wanted to play for her. I don't know if they train them this way. I've done other exams where the examining lady would sit there like the Sphinx. But no, this one, she was really a human being, and that put me at ease. The other thing that put me at ease, I had a young piano student who could turn the pages for me, because that's always a hassle. If you play, you've got to do the pages. And if you do the pages electronically, if you don't mind your step or watch your step, you will suddenly, in the middle of your performance, hit that page twice with a finger and the page is 2 pages on. And then you've got to page back again. And then you're 2 pages back and then 3 pages. That's happened to me in another exam. And of course, that one I didn't get an A+. Thank you very much. So there we are. She put me at ease. This lady was wonderful. And yeah, there we are. It was just everything worked out at the right time. In Afrikaans, to see lam achter ons, wat op die rechte tijd gepieke. So I peaked at the right time.
Yeah. A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can share childhood memories with your children or grandchildren. Record a bird's eye view of your career or business, or speak about an unforgettable trip. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Hans, what was it like when you heard you had achieved this A+?
Well, it was in a very interesting place. I was dropping off my wife's dog at the doggy parlor when the message came through. And I just stood there and people were talking to me, but I didn't hear what they were saying. It's as if you're under a shower and wonderful warm water just goes through your body. Understand? You know, I had that a feeling of serene happiness. Mm. Yeah, if you want to know. And I couldn't believe it either.
And the reaction of your family?
Well, they said they thought I would at least get an A. But you know, that's how they are. They are all, you know, very supportive of what I wanted to do and am still doing. And of course, everybody was delighted. I got a beautiful card from my grandchildren with the one she drew a grand piano on it, and the other one wrote my name under it. And that's Opa Twinkle. Mm. That's my name for them, Opa Twinkle. And these things, they are the things that count in life, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And you're back to playing now, I suppose.
Yes. Now I'm playing. Our chamber music group has started again. And we're doing some nice challenging things there. Some Debussy, the prelude, Après-midi d'un enfant, where you've got to keep your wits about you. And then I've started a little bit other thing. I love the jazz thing I did for the exam. So now I'm practicing the solo version of the Rhapsody in Blue of Gershwin.
Ooh.
And that's quite a mountain to climb. But Nina already told me she'd help me.
Oh, yeah. It seems to me it's not going to stop now.
No. Now we've now got Vuma.
Mm. Hans, mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you to tell us more about your philosophy of life.
Oh, that is like me, you, and the universe, but okay. Number one, you mustn't never take yourself too seriously. Although I'm not really religious and it could sound biblical, but we are just grains of sand. And if you are a grain of sand that has the sun shining from it, be happy at that moment that the sun is reflecting on your surface. And then the other thing is, even if things turn against you, try never to be sorry for yourself, because that really drains all your energy away. And then number three, try and maintain a sense of humor and always walk upright and straight, even if you feel as if you'd rather spend the time in the fetal position.
Thank you, Hans. Do you have any advice to others regarding the pursuit of post-retirement dreams?
Well, I think, Mariette, we've touched on it a bit earlier in our conversation, which I must say I've enjoyed tremendously. That we've touched on it when I said that I think, you know, people go and then they retire and then, oh, what now, you know? What now? And they hang around their house. They watch too much TV. Some people get into like bad, destructive habits. And I would think that if while you are working in that part of your life, the way you have your career and your profession or whatever your employment, you should already plan for what comes next. It is like before your period of employment, you prepare for your period of employment. So at that stage, you have to prepare and start right early to say, that's what I would like to see myself and like to see myself and like to see. Of course, all this can be destroyed in a day by illness, by disease, by cataclysms, by wars. There we don't have any influence. And I think that if you retire and you're still well in yourself, be happy for that, because, you know, when you get older, you always just, even if you're 76, you feel like you're 56 or 46. Mm. And you just keep on feeling that way until one day, and this comes unannounced, suddenly you feel old. And you know that age has caught up with you. And that date, we can maybe postpone it, but it's better to plan for it in the sense that live full, grab each day until, because you're going to collapse some or other time. And after the collapse, if we are lucky, you don't have to be around too long. Thank you. But before the collapse comes, see what you can do, A, for yourself, B, for yourself, 3, for yourself, but above all, to your family, to people around you, to people that love you. That what you're doing must mean something to them as well, and then you will have fulfillment and joy. And thereby endeth the lesson.
I was just going to say there is great wisdom in your words. Thank you.
Now we gather our bits in little pots. Okay.
But before I let you go, Hans, may I ask you a fun question?
It's like F-U-N.
Yes.
Okay. Done. D-U-N.
Good. We're going to the world of the imagination. If you could be a sports car, which make and model would you be?
Well, okay. That isn't hard. That is easy. I would love to be a Porsche. In my life, I've had 14 Porsches.
Ooh.
And of course, so that probably explains why I would like to be one of those. And I would go to be a 911, which I think is the epitome of that brand. And I don't know if there's any one 911 Porsche on earth that isn't being enjoyed. Yeah.
If I have the privilege of speaking to you again, Hans, I'm going to get you a very difficult, fun question.
Oh, I know I'm going to run for the hills now. Okay. Yes, no, thank you.
Thank you, Hans, for inspiring me. And I'm sure our listeners, with your liveliness and your determination, practicing through the pain. And I'd like to say to our listeners, you have so many interests that if they are curious, they're welcome to find your up close and personal article on my website. And I'll include the link in the podcast notes. So thank you for being such a positive force.
Well, I can only say that you've guided me very, very positively through this interview. And I hope the podcast means something to people that are in the last third of their earthly career. And yes, thank you. From, as I say, to all you guys out there, from one gray celeb to another, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep on. Thanks.
Thank you, Hans. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.